You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, raw dog time. Arf, arf. Oh, yeah, look at this guy, Brandon Royval, on top of the world, back at it.
Look at mini raw dog.
Mini raw dog out in the park, the flyweight of the moment. You know I'm going to be fired up to talk to you, Brandon Royval, but what a breakthrough comeback victory over Brandon Moreno. Congratulations on what went down at UFC 298. Talk to me. How you feeling right now?
I feel good. I mean, I also feel like shit too. My ankle's all swollen. And, you know, after getting a fight, it's, I always forget too. Like when I was younger, I had like a rule, like after my first fight, I was like, I'm never kicking again. Cause like, I look like I'm the type of dude to break my leg when you throw kicks, you know what I'm saying? And, bro, it just sucks for everybody. Like even when you hit like land kicks, well, it just sucks. So it's just limping around this park, walking my dog and all this fun stuff.
Does this feel like the biggest win of your career? Is it the biggest win of your career? It was a gutsy win, man.
Yeah. It definitely is. It didn't feel like it, though. Like, honestly, I kind of just wanted a win, bro. I was really mad at myself after the title fight, and I just wanted a win, man. I just want to be back in the win column. I wanted to go fight, and I didn't really think it all through. I was just like, all right, this is a good opportunity, and, like, I can just quick turn around. And it's like, I've never main evented a UFC thing before, so I was like, if I could get on all this, like, it's just kind of killing a bunch of birds with one stone, you know?
There you go. So I mentioned it was 298. It wasn't. It was UFC Mexico City, the main event. Massive opportunity. So you get this last-minute call when Amir Albazi falls out. Well, not last minute. What was it, about a month and a half, 2 months for you to figure
it
out?
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks.
But that decision, when you're coming directly off the title loss to Pantoja, mentally, everything that goes into play – how much of a debate was it whether to accept that fight? Was it absolutely automatic?
Oh, it was automatic. I have a rule that I don't accept fights that I like. I guess I've never not like hesitated or anything, but like short notices, if you think about it for too long, that's like when I've made my mistakes, I think, which is like I'm basing this off of one fight. But if I'm super enthused about it, it's just like that. Then we're all go. It's like if you have to think about it for super long, I think it's maybe not a good decision, especially like a short notice. I mean, but if you're enthused about it and like your first reactions, yes, and you got to go off of that. So it's like I tell the fighters around me and all that stuff too. It's just like, what's your first reaction and go off of that if it's a short notice. And for me, my first reaction was like, oh fuck yeah, like I get to go fight. I get to be a main event. I get a free trip to Mexico. Like I was all excited about everything, man. So I don't get to go visit the world much. So I was pretty stoked on going to Mexico.
Well, you go in there against a former two-time champion in Moreno, the star of the division in some ways of what he's put together personality-wise, career-wise, and you knew it gave you its chance to not just run back the title loss and redeem the loss you had to Moreno years ago, but, man, it was a – from the low of losing to the high of coming in here and win it, it turns your stock around like that, which is the opportunity you get with a last-minute notice like that. Does it feel reviving in that regard to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, maybe not like reviving. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to, like, I'm not 100% sure if I'm getting a title shot off this, but it was just like a nice breath of fresh air, man. Cause like I said, losing fights suck, but losing a title fight sucks, man. That was definitely one of the lower ones I've had. And just to get myself right back out of it. And then mainly just like, bro, give myself a reason to wake up every day, like fucking and like, you know, enthused and ready to get after it, you know? Cause after that title fight, like I was sitting like I wasn't motivated to go back to training really until that Moreno came around and I was like, perfect. This is exactly what I needed. I definitely wanted that like Edge back, and I feel like that was a cool way to do it. Is just go be a spoiler at parties, and then also, you know, like go get the ranking, go show the world what I can do, and I don't know. There's a lot of things. There's so much things that add up into that. That's just like I was so excited to go do. You know,
it wasn't the well. Let's talk about this performance against Moreno. He's got that experience. You've been in there with him before. You go five rounds here at altitude, and you get your hand raised. How do you feel you did this? How were you able to neutralize him and get the job done?
Man, I feel like one, training in Denver is like always that big advantage, where it's like training in Denver, and like I feel like I weaponized cardio, which is like a weird thing to say, or like a weird thing to think, is like, and I don't want to use it all the time, but it's like I feel like I've weaponized cardio as a fighter, and just staying in someone's face and kind of draw, like, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of like having that, like, I don't know, that edge that it's like, if it goes third, fourth, fifth round, I'm definitely going to start getting stronger. And I like, part of me too is like wondering, like, I wonder what his strategy in that fight was, or like what their like tactics were, because the first two rounds he was moving so much, you know, like he wasn't engaging much. And it was like, I wonder if he was like, all right, we're going to save some energy and just kind of like preserve energy in that thing. And I kind of wonder if that's what he was, what the tactic was on his side. But yeah, I feel like I weaponized cardio, and I made that kind of my thing. And especially later on in that fight, like once I hit like the third, fourth, fifth round, once I like kind of hit him in the nuts, I thought, I was like, oh shit, he's tired. Like I knew I didn't really hit him, you know, like I barely like nicked him, if anything, like maybe a toe, you know. And I assume my boy got a good cup on. So, I mean, this is all just assumptions. But I know I didn't hit him flush, you know what I'm saying? We're flyaway. My boy back in. No, I'm just kidding. But he was taking all his time, and I was like, oh no, he's tired. That's what it is. Like I didn't hit him in the nuts. He just has a quick way to take a few seconds to catch his breath and then go back at it. So from there on out, every time they broke us up or anytime there's like a split, I just got right back in his face. And that was kind of what I decided from there on out, is that I'm like, okay, I think I have him winded, and I can kind of just start taking over a little bit from here.
Well, when I saw him in the second half of that fight doing non-Brandon Moreno moves, which is to circle away from the action, to constantly almost be using movement to a negative effect, I was going to ask you if you thought it was fatigue on his end, but what do you think you made the adjustment striking-wise to be able to close distance easier in ways that you weren't able to in the first couple rounds?
Man, I kind of wish I did more, especially like looking back, because like I could have stole way more angles on him. I could have done like those like cool Lomachenko angles on him. I could have done a bunch of cool things, and then I could have I forget what they call it. We have like a name for it at our gym, but like a shifting. I wish I did a better job shifting, because he was running away a lot, and it's like if I would have shifted and just doubled up on my punches and switched stances, I could have one got away with a lot of more calf kicks, and I could have covered distance and just stayed in his face even a little bit more when he was retreating. So, I mean, I feel like what I did was the asshole move and just pick up my pace and just stay in front of him a little bit more. What I wish I did was a bunch of other things though. So, you know, looking back, we'll do that shit against Pantoja.
One thing you did was, even if he took you down, he didn't keep you down. That was going to be the key to victory in a lot of ways. How happy are you with your ability to avoid those troubles and take that away from him in this matchup?
Yeah, bro, I almost got a go-go plot. I should have went for it. That would have been the coolest. That would have been the coolest way to win, and I would have retired after that. That would have been my last fight. But
You don't mean that. Come on.
Oh, I feel like I do, man. I've been telling myself this since I was a kid. Like, if I get a go-go plot in a fight, I think that's anything I wanted to accomplish, and I'm done, you know? But yeah, man, fuck, I forgot the question, man. My dumb
wrestling
ass.
Yeah. His ability.
Oh, the wrestling. Yeah. I hired a wrestling coach to watch my videos, to watch my sparring, to, watch me wrestle, and then have privates with me. So that's all I worked on that camp, really, is just wrestling, popping up. And, that is just, I'm not going to be held down. Like these fools ain't gonna hold me down. I feel like that's like an empowerment speech that I'm, thank God the system's not gonna hold me down no more. But mainly these flyweights aren't gonna hold me down, really, is what I don't want. That's something that I'm working on real hard. I worked on super hard this camp. And like I said, I pretty much videoed all my rounds. And had somebody looking over it, and just kind of where we went right, where we went wrong, and I just seen those improvements in there really quick, and I knew it was going to be a quick, it was going to be a quick like learning lesson from Pantoja to Moreno. So by the time that next fight comes around, I'm going to have it so dialed in.
Well, look, I can ask,
and I got my first takedown too.
That's where I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got my first takedown. I don't think
I could ask you a million questions about technique, but this is morning combat, Raw Dog, so people expect different questions out of me. Do the DMs blow up on fire when you win a five-round main event in Mexico City?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I get some good shit, some bad shit, but yeah, the DMs are popping. The DMs are I mean, they're slowing down now, but the DMs are popping. My girlfriend had my phone the whole entire time, making sure they weren't popping too much. Otherwise,
I was going to say, are they Ryan Garcia level popping, or, you know, let's put it on levels here, you know?
Well, I mean, Ryan Garcia is a lot better looking than the Raw Dogs athlete. And honestly, he got that boxer money, man. Ryan Garcia is worth more, looks better, and damn, sadly, both those. you know, I got more charisma, and I'm not saying outlandish shit right now, so maybe I got personality developed from that, you know?
Yeah, I fear for Ryan Garcia's future after some of those press conferences and interviews that we've seen, yeah.
Yeah, especially like the last one, I'm like, damn. The last two, but the last one especially, I was like, damn, you might be hanging out with my boy De La Hoya too much.
All right, take me back to the fallout of this title fight. You climb the mountain, you make the changes, you get the win streak, you get the Pantoja fight. Talk to you ahead of that one, such a big moment for your career. But when you lose it, and you know, you lost it in a competitive fight, but it wasn't disputed. You lost the damn fight, the champion defended. Sometimes fighters don't come back from that. Sometimes it feels like the balloon of invincibility gets popped, and that's it. How did you walk that out? How difficult was that?
I needed that Moreno fight. I needed that Moreno fight to kind of pull me in a good place for sure. And there's never no, like, I don't have doubt I can beat Pantoja. I know I can win that fight. I know little adjustments, little things, I win that fight. But I definitely wanted that Moreno. Like, that Moreno fight definitely pulled me out of that, like, the place where I was just getting in my head and I was staying at home too much, you know, and then you're not doing what you need to do. Or what, like, what I needed to do to get it. And granted, it was like, the Christmas and New Year's, and I had family in town, all that stuff. So I wasn't getting much training done, but the moment that fight happened, it was just like, all right, cool. We're back to being focused 100% and all that stuff. So man, really that's what pulled me out of the dark place. And then two, just like in my head, I 100% believe I could beat Pantoja. It's like, I know how outlandish it sounds, but just like, I know I can win that fight. I know I can beat him. I know a couple small adjustments in either one of those fights, I could win those.
Hey, for you to come back so quickly, take a huge fight. I'm always a little nervous. Is it too much too soon? Are you trying too hard to run it back? It turned out to be exactly what you needed, but it took the changes that you mentioned that you made in camp. So you said you didn't get a guaranteed number one contender fight. It could lead that way. What is your strategy? I mean, besides staying healthy and waiting by the phone, where do you go from here?
I have a few ideas. If they're not going to give me the Pantoja 301 fight, I have a few ideas on who's next. I mean, mainly just like one other couple people available. So the flyweight division is a little weird. So it's like there's a handful of people that you can fight. But I mean, I'll fight either one of those two dudes. I'm just kidding. But but the goal is always the same, man. Just try to get that belt. Try to chase who's at the top. I'm kind of all about exciting fights too. I love that. That was like my first time ever actually striking a whole entire fight. I've never got to do that as far as been in not only in the UFC but in MMA. Usually I get taken down. So you know, now that we're avoiding takedowns, I might have to be able to strike for 3, 4, 5 rounds or whatever it is. So, but that was my first time striking like pretty much a whole fight. So that was pretty cool. And it's just like, I like these exciting fights. Fighting Moreno gets me out of bed. And there's a couple other dudes that I'm like, it would be so fun to fight them.
Well, this division is so fun. I always say post Mighty Mouse and Cejudo because anybody can win the title. Anybody ranked in the top 10 is, you know, two big wins away, it seems, or sometimes one from getting their opportunity. Does it feel that way within the top 10 that, you know, as much as like, you can beat anybody at any time, but you can lose to anybody at a time. It feels like the competition is so even across the board at 125.
Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna beat all of them up, honestly. That's how I feel. I know across the board, I feel like even when you go back, like there's that new kid, Josh Van, man. I love watching him fight. I've been watching him fight in the come up, but it's like that kid's boxing's off the chain. He does some cool things, and it's just like all around the board, man. I just feel like the flyweight division's way more interesting now, and I feel like there's so many good fights and so many cool things you can do along the lines, and it's like I definitely want to go in and win a belt, defend it a few times, and watch the flyweight division from a distance once all these kids develop, get good, and start really developing some of their skills. But the up and comers are young and they're good, man. They're really
Having two losses to the current champion, does that not hold you back in the same way it held, or we thought it would hold Holloway back from getting a third Volkanovski fight, but he got it. But there were other matchups where there were rumors at times when people always go, wait, that guy's lost to that guy twice. Do you think that'll be something that holds you back from getting another shot at Pantoja?
Possibly. And I feel like that fight was just not long ago. You know what I'm saying? So that's like another thing that could hold me back from it. But I knew when I took the Moreno fight, I was doing whatever I had to do to get back to where I wanted to be. And that's exactly what it is. It's just like I took a risk like that for a reason, you know? I took a risk like that because I'm like, it's going to be hard to deny me once you're back to being the number one contender.
It had to be great to redeem the loss to Moreno. Was there a part of you that celebrated that?
Yeah, a little bit, but mainly it was just like, man, I really don't count that as a loss. Sorry, my dog's seen a girl dog and trying to lay the Mac down, honestly. Come here,
Trying to
baby.
live
I'm
up
sorry.
to the
But yeah.
family nickname. Yeah. All right.
He's a little pretty boy. But yeah, a little bit. It was a little cool to just have that. And like, I feel like I was only watching like some of the press conference highlights where he's like, while I was beating Brandon and stuff like that, I didn't hear all the stuff. Like he was saying nice stuff before, and then they'd cut and do like the rude shit. So in my head, I was like, this dude just thinks he won the fight, and it's like that's so weird to me. Like I wouldn't be celebrating that really if it's just like I had nothing to do with the whatever it is, the shoulder popping out. If I'd happened a Kimura and a shoulder popped out, then I wouldn't be really celebrating. It's just like a weird accident that happened, you know? But I went back, watched the highlight, like the actual things. I'm like, oh, he was saying some sweet stuff. It was just what they played was the asshole thing. So maybe I needed that in my head too, because I was like, fuck this guy. But yeah, a little bit of that, and just a little bit of just, man, you gotta be, he's the number one spot. I didn't like think about it until after the fight, but it was like, that's a former champion I just beat. And that's cool. That's cool in itself, man. I feel like these little markers that I cross off along the way has just been a blessing in disguise, you know?
Well, I heard the call out afterwards when you were sort of trying to say, like, hey, Mexican crowd, you can support me too. You know what I mean? Like, did you feel like you won them over by the end of that night?
No, I mean, to a degree, there's like a handful of people that most people were cool. Most people were being cool. And there's a handful of people that were like talking shit, flipping me off, like doing the most, grabbing at me when we were walking by. So it was a little dicey still.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, you're shirtless in the park right now. You're living your best life. Does it get hard locally to be Brandon Royval? I mean, if you're trying to buy, Delta 8s at the Circle K, is it difficult because people come right up to you? They know who you are.
It just depends on like what area I'm in for sure. Like I feel like I get recognized more in like certain places than not. But no, and I mean I'm not gonna be doing this forever, so I just have to enjoy it when I can, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? What you don't see is the big old belly I have underneath. Like I haven't scrolled down, but your boy's picking up weight during these last couple weeks. Or this last 4 days.
All right, this is interesting. This is what the people want to know, how the sausage gets made and eaten. When you come off of a training camp, you win a big fight. Is it a week of like whatever fits in my body, or is it a little discipline in that?
No discipline at all, bro. I think it's if I can finish it, bro, you should see how many Girl Scout cookies I ran through.
Oh, yeah.
I've had these collected up, and yeah, I've went through at least like six boxes, which is
All right, I
embarrassing.
gotta get the favorite here because I've been going on record a million times. If it's not Thin Mints, I want to know what's wrong with you. What chemically went wrong along the way? A lot of people like the tag alongs. A lot of people like weird stuff too, the coconut ones. I don't know about that. Where does the raw dog get down on the Girl
Oh, we're
Scouts?
Thin Mints, bro. I agree with you. If you don't like Thin Mints, you're a weird Girl Scout eater. You know what I'm saying? Like,
It's like no. it's the crack cocaine of cookies, you know? And let's go, I'm here. Yeah, right, yeah. Come on.
They give you enough. I feel like the sleeve's even better where they compacted it a little better. You know what I'm saying? There's so much that goes into what makes the Thin Mint the best Girl Scout cookie of all. But I'll take Tagalongs as a second. Not a close second, but a second, you know?
This is cool. I guess get to pick the brain of the raw dog here as he's chilling this monstrous win here.
You should see how much, do you fuck up quesadilla tacos?
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Like, bro, you're trying to make me speak a little bit of Spanish, which I've been already messing up. Quesabirria tacos? Quesabirria? I don't know how to say it.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now, yes.
Bro, every day I've been having some of those. Wow. I hit all the street vendors up. Yeah, bro, I'm bad. I'm one of those people that, like, I make weight easily, and I've never missed weight in my life. But the week or 2 weeks after a fight, I can look like a whole different person. I'll walk around like I ate me or something, you know? But I know personally, and maybe this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, is I know I can make flyweight in a week and a half with just trying to kill my body. And from there on out,
did you see the rehydrations from that card? I mean, people from 298, Jeff Neal 30 pounds over after weighing in.
Yeah.
This can't be sustainable.
Yeah. And like, maybe it's different from them, but it's like, if I gained 30 pounds, I would be uncomfortable. Like, that's too big of a difference, you know? I like going in at like 140, 143, no higher than that. That's like my ideal weight. But damn, man, if I was anything above that, I'd be uncomfortably like back there bouncing around. When I take my shirt off, I don't take my shirt off that much in public, even though it kind of looks like, you know, this is bad timing, honestly. But
like, I'm showing off in public. I don't normally do this, though. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wearing a lame shirt. I didn't want you to see it. You know what I'm saying? Taking a look, when you take off your shirt in front of the UFC crowd, I'm like, you know, I'm not big or anything. I'm a little insecure, so it's, you know, so I'm not trying to have a belly on top of having this skinny body, like zero muscle, big old belly. Like, I can look weird real quick.
The tacos, if you can make that on a week and a half, then I guess you've got an advantage over others. Give me in layman's terms. How insanely tough is it to make championship weight? I mean, I assume it's like every time you do it, you say this will be the last time, right?
Yeah, I was really grateful that I got the leeway on that pound this one around. But my last fight, I died it. My last fight, when I fought Pantoja at the championship weight, was easy because when I was the backup, I made that shit so hard. I made it so hard. I can't believe I messed up that much on my diet. And it's been like, since I was younger, that I've done it that bad. But when I started cutting water weight, I weighed 142. Like Wednesday, I woke up, I weighed 142. I looked at it, I called my nutritionist up, and I was like, what are we going to do about this, bro? Like, and he goes, you're getting in the sauna right now. So I cut weight for pretty much 24 hours and cut 17 pounds. That last pound was probably the worst one. But yeah, man, that day sucked. I don't know where I went wrong, or I think I just got cocky with it and I like thought I knew everything. And I just stopped checking my weight until I got there. That was a mistake. But damn, man. Yeah, that was a horrible day. I'm glad I didn't have to fight that next day to a certain degree.
Well, but when I fought Pantoja, is that gap of a day and a half from the weigh into the fight enough, even if the weight cut was difficult, to feel like yourself again come fight night?
I believe so. I believe so for sure. It's plenty of time. I've had a fight in the morning and weighed in at night type thing before. So for me, that's plenty of time. And it's like, I don't cut dangerously. I feel like I'm really good about it. And I've had a nutritionist since I was younger, and a couple of smart things that I've done along the way that I think some of these dudes, like when I fought Askar, or I was supposed to fight Askar, I heard he was like there the night of cutting 20 pounds or something. And he's like asking people, he's like, how do you cut? He's like, how do you guys cut weight? Or like, even when I showed up to Mexico, dude, there's dudes cutting weight on Tuesday. Like Tuesday night, they're sitting there in the sauna, and it's like, you guys are sitting in the sauna and then you guys have to drink water. You're pretty much just like spinning your wheels. It's like boxing. Have you ever been around like boxers don't know how to cut weight really? Like, they don't cut weight intelligently. Right. I'll be in a boxing room and these dudes all have sweatsuits on right there. And they're like, yeah, we're cutting weight. And I'm like, that's not how you do it. You got to burn calories when you're a couple weeks out. You don't cut water weight 3 weeks out. That's dumb. And then are like, they're not necessarily cutting water weight. They're cutting water weight and then putting it right back on. So it's just like, we're spinning our wheels right now. You got to burn calories. And it's like, that's the move, is being in a caloric deficit which sucks, but it is what you have to do.
It's incredible what you guys go through to live out this dream, to entertain us. I got to get your thoughts on some pressing topics right here. Ilya Topuria wins the featherweight title. Congratulations to him. He's the king of Spain. He's the king of Europe. He's the king of Luke Thomas's heart. In fact, Luke's got a boner from here to Hanover, Ohio, over the rise of Topuria. Do we let Luke Thomas have this, or do we call him out for his annoying man love?
I think we might have to let him have this man love a little bit, man. Topuria, I mean, he's good, man. His ground game's good, and he's just out here knocking people out. You watch his, like, earlier fights, like, when they were in – one of my friends was his fought Ilya Topuria, like, when he was first fighting the UFC, Yusuf Zalal. But if you watch his, like, come up, he was submitting a bunch of people, and then it, like, started turning to knockouts, and it's like, this kid's just developing. But when he first came on scene, he was, like, originally just, like, grappler, and it's like, now he's knocking people out, and now he's just a real problem everywhere. And I don't know how he does against Max Holloway, but if Volk doesn't make big adjustments, I think the same result's going to happen. And kid has a certain aura about him and all that thing, but I think maybe, like, a Max Holloway could be a bad matchup for him.
That would be a very, very interesting fight. But if he got through that, man, I don't want to get on board like Luke is, but this man might not lose for a bit. You never know, though. I mean, if my guy Zabit gets up in that bullpen once more, then that could change things. But on this same night in Mexico City, just happens to be a couple of my favorite fighters score big wins. You in the main event. But how about T-City, man? How about our guy Brian Ortega? Did that fire you up to see him come back from hell and bust his ankle dancing to warm up and then...
100%, especially someone that, because I got hurt in that first round. Especially someone that got hurt in that first round, that Brian Ortega kept me motivated in the pocket. And then me and him have, like, the same storyline, you know what I'm saying? Of, like, we both got hurt against our opponent. We're both fighting the dude in Mexico. We're doing all this stuff. So we kind of have the same storyline when it comes to that. So for some reason, I had in my head as, like, the moment Brian Ortega won, I'm like, I'm for sure winning. Like, I put that in my head. After he won that fight, I was like, oh, cool. We're catching W's now. And, I do so many dumb things, because if he would have lost, I would have put some weird thing together that's why he lost and I'm going to win type thing. But I'll get, like, weirdly some superstition that only works out for me type thing. But that was the one leading up to it. Me and him were warming up together right next to each other in the locker room. He popped his shoulder out. I popped my shoulder out. He just beat some dude direct from Mexico, being a Mexican-American, and same thing as me. So in my head, I was just like, oh, now I'm for surely going to win since Brian Ortega won. So. Yeah.
Well, you said you guys had similar stories. I was hoping you had a similar social life to that guy, because, you know, he's a lot of people's heroes for the right reasons, to be very fair.
Yeah, yeah. You're comparing. This is the second time you compared a beautiful man compared to myself. It's like, I'm sure his DMs were popping and stuff too, but.
Oh, God. Well, now he's married. Who would have saw that coming? Ortega's married.
I know.
Right, there we go. Happy to see it, though, for him. Does Conor McGregor ever fight again?
I don't think so. But he's going to tease, bro. I need Michael Taylor needs to give up on that, because I don't think he's ever. Michael Taylor might not ever fight again if he keeps pressing his luck.
He might be giving up what's left of his peak earning years waiting for this payday, right?
100%. 100%. And it's like, if he's not getting direct pay per view money off of it, then he's wasting money right now. Like, if he's fighting for a normal contract type thing on it, he might just be wasting money right now, or wasting time to make money.
All right, have you seen Money Moicado, another guy I love, just an absolute crazy man, calling out the UFC saying, enough of these shitty fight nights, enough of the Apex. Let's, you know, he didn't want to fight at the Apex, but he did it. Do the fighters start to echo this, or is this just something the media talks about too much?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I believe this 100% too. I feel like the UFC is... What's it called when there's two, like inflation, not inflation of fighters, but, you know,
monopoly.
This is all true stuff. I'm talking about, like, since there's so many fighters that they put on some fighters that I don't think would have been UFC quality, like, or should have been UFC quality, like top notch quality. So you get, like, a condensed version of what real great fighters could be. You know what I'm saying? Do you remember like back in the day when you'd watch a UFC and you'd know every fighter on the card?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, there was like a time where I knew every fighter on the card from beginning to end. Now it's like, I don't know half these dudes. I don't even know some of these guys in my weight class where I'm like, oh shit, this guy's a flyweight. So it's just kind of like, it's cool because they're making their money. So, and like,
oh, are they, Brandon? 12-12 isn't ringing too, too.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the fighters. I'm talking about the UFC.
Okay, good.
The UFC's making their money.
Sorry about that one. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're with the products being, watered down. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
They've got dates to fill. It's become what it is. The Dana White Contender Series has become a factory for them. I understand it. I can see it. On this note, because I am self-conscious sometimes, we rail against power slap because it's disrespectful, man. There's no defense. Yeah. Do fighters care about that absolute bullshit?
About defense? Obviously, I don't.
But when you see power, when you see your own company put out power slap, is it like, okay, cool, go do your thing? Or is it like, man, F that?
I just don't think it should be on their social media. Like, I don't think UFC should be posting like some dude slapping another person. Cause it's like, I've been in the UFC PI with these guys, and what they do compared to what we do is like a joke. Like, these dudes are like, I don't even know why they're wasting time on the scale. They're sitting there like none of them cut weight. They're all just sitting there like eating fucking fruit roll ups, not like acting like an athlete at all. And then go jumping on the scale. They're like, oh, I'm this. And I'm like, this is a, I don't know, man. I guess it's whatever you can consider a sport. I don't know what the technical term that qualifies like or defines a sport, but it's just like what they do and what we do is 100% different, and for a million different reasons. But it's just like the discipline it takes to be an MMA fighter and like being at UFC at the UFC PI and stuff like that is like I remember just like it being an honor where I'm like, this is like my museum. You know what I'm saying? Like there's. Are like a playground for me. Like there's punching bags, there's speed bags, there's everything I ever wanted. There's two different cages, one big size, one small size. And these assholes are on the speed bags slapping it like idiots. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I as someone who loves the martial arts, I don't consider slapping the martial arts portion of it. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me the effort put in, but hey, it's business. They feel like it's hot in India. They say it's hot in India. What do I know? You know, what do I know? I'm just dwelling in my basement right now. When you see a card like UFC 300, you won't be able to get on it. You just main event in Mexico City. As a fighter, is that the goal? Like, would you have wanted to been on that more than anything, or does it not matter to you?
Yeah, that was my goal. If I won the fight or if I lost the fight, who was I going to call out for UFC 300 when right after the Pantoja fight? But it's like, if I won that fight, if I could be on that UFC 300 card, that'd been so sweet. But I was trying to find fighters that would be fun to fight on that card anyway. So that was like another thing that I was going to do is just call someone out and try to get on that UFC 300 card. Cause you know, what an honor that would be to be a part of like one of those legacy cards, you know?
It's incredible. It's history. Those round numbers matter. I get into arguments about it, but they do matter. They do. They are a moment in time. They are, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those stupid things, but it's like, yeah, and it's a cool card to be a part of. And I was curious to see what the main event was. I'm still excited about the main event for sure. It's a dope fight, but I was curious what they're gonna do because it just seemed like they're gonna have fucking Godzilla versus King Kong in there at a certain point. The buildup was so like was so big that I thought it was gonna be something major.
All right, we've seen a celebrity. Well, look, the UFC, let's give them credit. They're celebrities galore showing up at every event. But to see Volkanovski put Mark Zuckerberg in his corner, we've seen it a few other times with quasi-celebrities. When Mike Perry put Coach Latore in his corner, it was the coolest freaking thing of all time. Have you ever wanted to experiment with something like that? And what do you lose by sacrificing a member of your corner to put somebody famous in there?
Yeah. I was about to have Mike Perry's girlfriend in my corner too one time. No, I'm just joking. Scratch that. I don't want to get my ass kicked. Them was jokes.
Yeah. You're about to catch some of that bear fade. I'm telling you.
I know. Mike Perry's a man. I would do that shit for sure. I only had three corners in this fight, and it's like, be quite fair too. I don't know if I even listen to shit when I fight. My corner did a great job, and I was doing some of the stuff, but. I feel like I barely started listening in my fights recently. So it's that was one thing I was thinking of too, is just like I had an option at four corners when you're the main event. And it's like, bro, people were leaving messages like saying they'll give me money to be in that corner. I'm like, if I get $50,000 for someone to be in my corner, maybe I secured a sponsor. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
If Elon Musk wants to be in my corner, besides him bringing that bad juju and not caring shit, I would allow him for sure. You know what I'm saying?
It is weird seeing a nerd like Zuck go up there, but, you know, he's doing much better than I am. Maybe I'll leave
him. When you look at a nerd like that, you're like, this is either the dorkiest dude ever or one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners I've ever seen.
Well, Elon did not have the balls to pick up the phone. But let me ask you this. A year from now, if Brandon Royval is going to be the flyweight champion of the world, what has to happen? Does anything need to change? Has it already changed mentally? How do you get to the top of that mountain?
I still believe I could beat all these guys with the skill set I have now, but definitely wrestling. Wrestling is something that when I was younger, I might have already told you this on the interview, but I had a Miguel Torres interview when I was younger, and he said, I'll beat any of these guys where they're good at. And he's like, I kind of just had that mind state of just like, if you take me down, that's where I want to beat you. That's where I want to like win that. If we strike, that's where I want to win at. And I kind of had that like mentality my whole entire career. And maybe not diving in deep as the wrestling as I should and thinking of it as like a point system. Cause even like a guy like Pantoja, who's a killer, fought for points when me and him went. And it's like, if he's doing that, then everybody's going to start. Like, everybody's already doing it. It's just, if he's doing that and he's a champion, and that's like, then I need to start thinking about that too, of just like, okay, this is going to secure this round. This is going to do that. This is going to do that. And it's like, we're in such a high level where it's like, these guys that I'm fighting are all really good. And it's like, it's hard to get finishes now. Where when I was younger, it was just like, oh, you're a wrestler. You want to take the fight down? I'm going to submit you 2 seconds. It's like, these guys are world class. Pantoja's a real class grappler. He's not going to be an easy submission for sure. And that motherfucker might have the best chin in the UFC. So finishing him isn't really the best option. Yeah. So
when he won that title, dude, you got to pour one out for him. He gave all. That's why I didn't think he was going to, that's why I thought you were going to beat him for the belt, mostly because I didn't know how much he left in the cage against Moreno.
Yeah. And I was thinking that too. I'm like, dude, this chin has to be eventually cracked. And it's like, I know I got like I'm not the strongest puncher maybe, but I know I have a strong kick and a strong knee. And he walked into one of those so flush and just did not bat an eye. And I was like, this guy can take a fucking punch, man. And that being said, his submission defense is great. So it's just like, when it comes down to that, I might have to actually win on points or just a real gut battle, I think. I think that's how I'd fight him next. I would just stay in his face the whole entire time and just do a battle of will, you know? And it's like, at a certain point, it's just like, I'm going to turn into a gut race. And that's how I want to see my next fight going with him, is just no matter what it is, I'm going to make him work harder than he's ever worked in his whole entire life. And I'm not going to step back.
A flyweight track meet in the trilogy with Pantoja coming up. Hey,
yeah, I have like,
if he doesn't get, if I have an upset, go ahead. No, I'm
I have an upset with, Prefontaine, man. I have like a real big Prefontaine obsession, and that fool, he was like not a talented racer, which I feel like that about myself. I'm not like, I've never been talented at anything, but it's just like in a guts battle and a battle of will, I've always been great at. I've always thrived there, and I feel like that's where I would take it next. Is I was trying to out-sophisticate him. I was trying to be tricky with him, and it's just like, let's just see where his heart is. Let's see who got bigger heart. Let's see who got a bigger set of nuts when it comes down to it, you know? Yeah. And
Huevos, bro. Huevos.
Huevos. Yeah, bro. 1 week in Mexico, bro. I should start messing up on that. Simon Holmes.
You mentioned Prefontaine. And Prefontaine's got the great running quote to paraphrase, it's not about who's faster, it's who's willing to endure more pain. Can you take that to the UFC cage?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I didn't want to take it there, but I feel like I have to now. With these like next few guys, they're good, and it's just like I feel like it's just gonna turn into like one of those, just like who can endure more pain, who can endure all that. That's actually like kind of one thing that got me through camp too. Is just like a saying like that. It was something similar to that. Just like, how much pain are you willing to put yourself through? Is like the closest you are to living, kind of thing. And it's like, I kind of went from one camp to the next camp. And like, I was facing injuries after the Pantoja, but I actually injured my hand pretty badly. So it was like I was pretty much training the first couple of weeks without like fully being able to engage in that. And then, you know, I had a cutting weight 2 times at Rough Sox. So it was just like, in my head, it was just like, I wanted to put myself through hell because, man, that's really what this fucking sport comes down to sometimes, man. And it's like, if you want it, it's just hard work. And it's like, I've lived that life for so long that it's like almost nothing to me nowadays. It's hard work's what we do around here. And I really believe that. This is a park that I like actually finish my runs at normally. And when,
are you in
like,
Denver? During camp,
yeah, I'm in Denver. So during camps, I'll hit like a 12-mile run. And this is where I finish it at. Is this right. And it's just like it's, yeah, so it's nice to sit back here and not be fucking sore as shit and all that other stuff.
Now, do you get to have a THC party at the end of the workout? Is that what happens in Colorado?
Yeah, for sure, man. I actually might do that right now. But yeah.
All might the just smoke, enjoy it. Morning combat edition. Yes.
It's a beautiful day, and when I was leaving Colorado, it was snowy, like this shit. Well, I was so happy to go to Mexico City because look, there was a blizzard before, and I'm like, it's a good time to get the hell out of here.
There it is. Man, I could just pick the brain of the raw dog for a you know, a weekly segment here for hours. I appreciate the time, Brandon, of getting inside the mind. One of my favorite.
Let me pick your brain. Do you think Ken Martin has a chance of beating Tank Davis? Frank Martin.
A chance. Yes, I accept that fight. I love that fight. You know, of course you want to see Gervonta against Haney, against Teofimo, against all the big names. I do question how much bigger in weight Gervonta is going to allow himself to grow. There's a lot of killers at 140 that I don't know if he's going out of his way to fight. I love that fight with Frank Martin. He's got the speed. He's got the dog. He's got some pop. He gets inside on you. I think Frank Martin could win. I don't think he will, yeah. but I don't have any issue with this matchup whatsoever. It's funny bringing up Ryan Garcia again. As much as I love that matchup because of the star power, I don't see how I give Ryguy a chance against Haney, especially if he's living the Oscar life. If there's fishnet showing up soon, stockings. Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna give him a shot at all in that one.
Oh, absolutely. And then like that's one thing about Ryan Garcia you got to give him credit for is. He's willing to take some of these hard fights. It's like, if I was him, I probably would have fought Rolly or like a Pitbull. I would definitely have took my sweet time to go fight Haney, but him calling out Haney right off the bat was just like, this guy's really like risking it all, man. And he's one of the top paid box. If I was one of the top paid boxers, I was looking that much, I would definitely have not fought Haney next. And I might have a duck tank a little bit too, but maybe that's what's getting him paid his tank, really, honestly. But yeah, it's good to see. Like, it's such a good time for boxing. But Frank Martin has to be one of my favorite to like watch as a southpaw. Oh, yeah. And just watching like that southpaw, like the way he moves, him and Boots are like kind of like move the same, and like even like that little Lomo Chaco movement, but like they're a little bit bigger. So I don't know, man. It'd be cool to watch Frank Martin take that, but I don't think so.
Goddamn yeah, good. I hope and they make that fight soon. I know. There's been rumors that it's being signed behind the scenes, but. We got to see it. We got to see more big fights. Canelo not fighting Benavidez. I mean, what are we doing, Raw Dog? Come on, bro. Right?
I know. He's not going to fight him at all. Is he fighting the other Charlo?
No, he's going over to the zone. He wants to fight Munguia or the big puncher, Edgar Berlanga, who's not ready yet. Not ready for prime time. Yeah. Hey, good to see you get into the box, too. That's what I'm talking about. You would never do BKFC, would you?
Yeah, fuck no. I would never do BKFC. And then that's like another thing, too, is I'm in a weird weight class where it's like, I would have to, like, if I was trying to make money and challenge one of these boxers, I'm not fighting in a way, like, fuck, box, in a way, that's like a death. yeah, I wouldn't want that. So, like, and then, who are the guys that are fighting today or tomorrow? There's two dudes that are my weight class pretty much that are fighting. Like, I don't know if I want to fight either one of those dudes either. Like,
yeah,
these weight classes are pretty good. And it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe like a heavyweight, I had the heavyweight skill, I wouldn't mind, but these fucking little dudes are good.
You can get carved up in that game, man. You can get carved the hell up.
Have you seen Carmel fight? Carmel Morton or Moten
yes,
or whatever?
Carmel Moten, Floyd Mayweather's young prospect. He's young, but he looks to be the goods.
Yeah, he might be the guy, man. I was watching him spar. I'm like, that motherfucker is so goddamn good.
All right. So the guy I've circled of the boxers right now that I think most has the I can't put a ceiling on him is Shakur Stevenson. Who's that guy for you?
For sure. And I feel like everybody's ducking him right now too. I feel like he might be the most ducked and he don't have like the necessary star power to want to fight him right now. But
Southpaw,
I think they're all
being able to move. Yeah.
Because even with Haney, it's like I thought Loma beat Haney. And I'm a huge Loma fan, so I'm probably just going to say that no matter what. But I thought Loma beat Haney. And I don't know. You know what's another weird one is Teofima. Teofima is one of those dudes who I'm like, this guy could be the best boxer in the world one day, and then the next day he's just fucking...
He's just average one day. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, yeah. There's always chaos in his life, too, and sometimes he juggles it perfectly and shocks you. Other times, you're like, what the hell's going on here? It's weird.
Yeah, I thought Oscar Valdez might even won that fight. Maybe I was scoring it wrong, but I thought... like, maybe I was just impressed by how good Oscar Valdez was doing. But I thought the same thing with the Loma. I'm like, Oscar Valdez is good, man. He's just right outside that, like, little... area where you're like, you're seeing him do so many good things, but it's just like, man, I would love to see him catch a bout soon or one of those.
You talking about Valdez or Jermaine Ortiz? Who Taylor?
Or Jermaine Ortiz? Yeah. Why the fuck? I don't know.
Valdez is a good fighter too, man.
Fools confused constantly, so I'll be saying Haney for Shakur, all that all the time. But all right. Yeah, another one. All right, last one before I can stop going off on boxing, but I'm a huge Boots fan. Boots is like another one of those dudes when he goes southpaw. It's just like he does so many cool little angles and so many cool little things. That's like,
dude, he's a virtuoso. He's like out there abstract painting, just like, you know, just playing outside the chords and noodling. I'd love to see him against Terrence Crawford, but I don't think there's a chance we can get that.
Yeah, Terrence is going to take that, which is smart.
I mean, Terrence won't take the fight unless there was so much money, I think. Because I think Terrence is looking at, I got a couple super paydays left, maybe Canelo, you know what I mean? Maybe Tim Zhu at 54. But you want to see a guy like Boots, who has waited for a couple years and has looked to be that guy who has next. You want to see him properly take the handoff by going through a modern star to get there, right? You don't want to see him winning a vacant title against some guy you never heard of from Uzbekistan. You know what I mean? You want to see him go through the Thurmans, the Crawfords, the Spences, so to speak. But it's politics. Boxing's got a lot of BS politics. I know UFC's got a lot of BS politics, but, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble here. It's been so great talking to Raw Dog. Let me close with this realistic question here, because I love this. What's the best part about being a UFC fighter?
The best part about being a UFC fighter, I feel like just training. Like, I love training, and then back in the day, like, I would train all the time, but it's just, like, the recovery part of it I never had because I was working a job or, like, I was in school and I was doing all these other little things where you're, like, I just didn't want to be, like, I needed a place to live, and I wasn't one of those fighters that were living in my car, like, living with roommates and stuff. I lived by myself always, so it was just, like, I was pretty much lacking sleep. Like, any recovery time was me working or doing some other thing, and it kind of turned into that BS. So for me, it's just training full time and just getting to do like I get to go box. I get to go do jiu-jitsu now. And it's like, I get to go, like, I'm not just doing MMA classes. I get to go out and box some of these boxers in Colorado. I get to go do jiu-jitsu with Michael Lear, who's one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. And it's like, for me, it's just a freedom that I have now. And it's like, that's the coolest part, because if I didn't have to fight, I would almost enjoy that too. But it's just like, in order to train full time, I got to fight sometimes, you know?
True, but it allows you to really, really hone your craft in ways that working full-time somewhere else wouldn't. I thought you would say the walkout, the rush, because I feel like that's one of those things that brings people back. Is that not a thing for you?
No, I hate the walkout. Honestly, I feel like my walkout last time was cool because I mixed two songs that I mixed my Shimmy Shimmy Ooh Baby I Like It Raw with a Mexican song, and I had that whole crowd fooled until they saw my face. They're like, oh shit, boo. But I had the whole crowd singing. So that was one of my favorite walkouts I've had, just because I mixed two songs. And, you know, there was a moment where the crowd was rooting for me. But other than that, man, I hate that walkout. That's actually one of the harder parts for me, is like walking out and getting like being in the back room, like warming up's cool. All the other stuff's cool. Driving to the arena and then walking out's the hardest part for me.
Interesting. Love it, man. Love it. Could have been here all day. Raw Dog, thank you for the time. We're going to see you back soon, maybe, right? Soon-ish?
Yeah. Hopefully in 2 months.
I always don't have time. They fight.
3-1. Yeah. I'm trying to stay active too, man.
There it is, man. What a good dude. Great to chat with you. Congratulations on the win over Moreno. We'll do this again. I appreciate you being... what should I say? You recognize the MK. You accept the role that MK plays in this weird combat kingdom. I appreciate it.
All right, cool. Thank you for your time, bro. I appreciate you for having me on again.
Stay positive and test negative. All right, bro. That's where we're
always.
At.
Always. Natty King over here. scrawny as shit. All right, like.